Still me. So maybe you guys recall the general counsel memo that was issued back in 2015 that caused many of you HR professionals in the audience to rewrite your handbooks, attend a bunch of CLE. Well, that's gone. The GC Rob that you just saw up on the screen has withdrawn that memo and changed the game for work rules. And I think this might be one of the references for winter is coming for union lawyers, because work rules are a little bit more employer friendly for a little bit. So what GC Rob did was put work rules in three categories. The first category are rules that are generally lawful on their face. The second is rules warranting individualized scrutiny. And then also the third category is rules that are facially unlawful. General one rules, these are the civility rules that we had to get rid of. Be nice to your employees, be cordial, be respectful to your managers, don't engage in insubordination. Those rules that were probably a category two rule under the old regime are now category one rules that are considered facially lawful. No photography and recording. You can ban insubordination, which is a nice thing for employers. And so these are now going to be considered facially lawful, and the burden would be on the party, the union, trying to rule these as unlawful. Category two rules are less obvious. These are the non-disparagement rules, and mostly consist of rules that are too broad to be facially lawful. You could take a facially lawful rule, such as no recording, make it so broad that it has implications and might chill Section 7 rights, because that's what the question is. Does it have a chilling effect on Section 7 rights and discourage Section 7 rights? And then the Category 3 rules are the facially unlawful rules. This is the, you know, confidentiality of salaries. You guys by now know you can't ban your employees from talking about their salaries or benefits. A rule that does that is considered facially unlawful according to the NLRB. And then obviously any prohibition or outward discouragement from joining a union, those type of rules are considered facially unlawful.
I want to just add that with respect to the new test applied by the board with respect to work rules, there still will be, I think, a fair amount of litigation in determining what the contours and the parameters of these new rules are. For example, confidentiality, I think, confidentiality rules in general are going to instigate and result in a lot of litigation under the Act. And there's a case I wanted to mention that just came down a few weeks ago and was decided by an administrative law judge named Keltner Locke. And I believe it's the first post-Epic Systems case decided by an ALJ. And, of course, will be reviewed by the board and probably ultimately will be reviewed by the D.C. Circuit or another court of appeals. But in that case, it involved Pfizer. It involved a large-scale arbitration plan that applied to a large number of non-union employees. But it had a provision that required the employees, as a condition of employment, to maintain the confidential nature of the arbitration proceeding and the award, including all disclosures in discovery, submission to the arbitrator, the hearing, and the contents of the arbitrator's award. And the ALJ, Judge Locke, ruled that that was unlawful and violated Section 7 of the Act. So that's a case that I think we should track. I don't have a copy of the decision with me, but anyone that's interested in obtaining a copy can just email or call me, and I'd be happy to send it to you. But inevitably, that will be reviewed by the board. So let's turn to duty of fair representation standards. Of course, it's long been the law that a labor organization only breaches its duty of fair representation to a bargaining unit employee or group of employees when its conduct is arbitrary, discriminatory, or in bad faith. And that is a very high bar to clear. But an employee who believes he or she has a duty of fair representation claim can file an unfair labor practice charge against the union, or can file a lawsuit. Peter Robb has issued two memoranda that address the duty of fair representation. And I don't really think it's a partisan comment to say that it's pretty clear that General Counsel Robb wants to devote a substantial amount of the NLRB's resources to enforcement actions against labor organizations. And the duty of fair representation memoranda seem to have the intent of expanding a unit employee's right to bring a DFR claim against a his or her union. So the first memoranda is GC-19-01. There, the general counsel provided clarification for the regional directors in the various regions, stating that when the union asserts mere negligence as a defense to an alleged breach of duty of fair representation claim, noting that the number of duty of fair representation cases of which the unions assert the defense is increasing, there are additional hurdles for the union to clear.